We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio.
I woke up this morning and I'm excited football's back, but the thing that really just jumped into my brain with tonight's game is that the freaking Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions. It's starting to sink in more that city is now, they're like the city of champions. They had the Phillies a decade ago. They got the back-to-back pennants. Now they got the Eagles. The Sixers are on the rise. Sort of depressed me this morning. But good morning, everybody. How the heck are you? It's the Midday Show. But Ingo and Roberts till 1 o'clock this afternoon. Busy show today. Kim Jones will join me later on. We'll talk Le'Veon Bell and the rest of week 1 in the NFL. Have some fun with KFC from Barstool. He'll stop by at 11. We'll get to a lot of football. But last night, if you were going to make the attempt to stay up, all right, it's a challenge to get through these West Coast games. It's a challenge. And you didn't have the Mets as a distraction. You know, I like when both of these teams are out West because when you're getting tired during the commercials, you always have the other game to keep you up. Well, the Mets played a Twilight California game, so they played at 7:30, so early on in the night, the Mets are done. And by the way, Zach Wheeler continues to be brilliant. Maybe I'll touch on that later. But if you were making an attempt to stay up late last night, the finale of this three-game series, the Yankees did you a favor because the first inning was this baseball game. The first inning in every way possible defined this baseball game. And we'll start with the not-as-obvious part, and that's what they did in the top of the first inning, because what they did in the top of the first inning has been typical of what we've seen over the last few weeks. They had a great opportunity to hand Luis Severino a lead early. They had bases loaded, two outs. They're making Mike Fiers throw a ton of pitches. In fact, he threw 28 of them in the first inning. And here comes the man of the hour, Luke Voit, who, yeah, it's tough to get on him because the guy's been incredible, just doesn't get the job done. And he grounds out. And that's it. So the Yankees, doing something they've done a lot recently, have a golden opportunity, and they do nothing with bases loaded, two outs. They fail to get anybody across. And then the bottom of the first inning was as bad, as ugly, and as deeply concerning as a first inning can be. Besides any kind of new injury that could hit, what you saw in that first inning has to give you a stomachache. Now, couple of things. The Yankees are still in a great position to host this wild card game. All right, those are just the facts. Even with last night's loss, they are not only up by four games in the loss column over Oakland, they're basically up five games in the loss column over Oakland. Because if they finish with the same record, there would be a tiebreaker. The first tiebreaker is head-to-head. They split that. The next tiebreaker is interdivision record or intradivision record. I forget how it's phrased. Basically, your record in your own division. And the Yankees would win that tiebreaker. So essentially, as bad as the Yankees have played over the last week plus, it would take a lot more badness, if you will, for them not to host this wild card game. The key was getting one of these games. If they had lost all three, I think we'd be talking about something completely different because, number one, the A's would own the season series, so they'd have the tiebreaker, and obviously we'd be a lot closer in the standings. That's not the case. So it would take a lot more badness from this baseball team and a lot of goodness from Oakland for the Yankees not to host a wild card game. So I still think it is very, very likely
that on October 3rd, the New York Yankees are playing the Oakland A's at Yankee Stadium. You can kiss the division goodbye. That's obvious. We've known that for a while. And yesterday was what I like to call the exclamation point with the way the Red Sox pulled that out of their rear end and obviously the Yankee loss. But what's concerning about that first inning is, first of all, before we even get to Sanchez, and don't worry, I'm going to rip him. How can I not? We got to start with Luis Severino, because Severino recently has been starting to give you positive signs and positive vibes that maybe he was going to get away from the slumber that had affected him for the last bunch of starts. You started to see progress from Luis Severino. And yesterday, and sure it doesn't help that it's against the team that he would be facing if he gets the starting assignment in that wild card game, Luis Severino was a disaster. And I know it is very easy to crush Gary Sanchez, which I'll do. I'll get to that. But how bad was Severino? Because he starts the whole thing off by giving up a rip double. And yes, he got a terrible break in that at-bat against Jed Lowrie. Terrible break. Because instead of the count being 2-2 on an obvious check swing, that I have no idea how Tom Hallion missed that. I don't know. I don't know how he missed it. But still, the count's 3-1. It's not the end of the world. He gives up a base hit to Jed Lowrie. He gives up a double to Chris Davis. He gives up a rip double to Matt Olson. And sure, in between all of that, you had two wild pitches and two pass balls, which we'll get to. But Luis Severino brought back the awfulness. And then he did it in the third inning. Because at least after that disastrous first inning, he pitched a 1-2-3 second, and there was a chance that maybe he would settle down. A chance that maybe he would get into some kind of groove and at least salvage it, keep him in the game. Even if you lose, it doesn't become a full-blown disaster. The third inning, it became a full-blown disaster. He walks Chapman. He gives up the hit to Lowrie. And now he looks like he's a chance to get out of it before he gives up the back-breaking hit to Stephen Piscotty. So if you hadn't turned the game off yet in the first inning, the third inning was the time to shut that baby off. And when Aaron Boone is trotting out there with two outs in the third inning, to take the baseball from Luis Severino, every positive that you've seen over the last four starts was completely flushed down the toilet. And the reality is this with Luis Severino, and it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's the reality. In the second half of the season, he's been the worst pitcher in baseball. And I don't think that's hyperbole. I don't think that's saying something for effect. I think that's real, because here are the numbers, and tell me how it could be worse. The guy's made 9 starts since the All-Star break. He has a 6.95 ERA. 6.95. I mean, that's as awful as it gets. And this has become such a bizarre season for this guy, because in the first half of the season, he was the best pitcher in the American League. It was him and Verlander towards the top. Chris Sale, too, sure. But Luis Severino had a firm stake to win the American League Cy Young. He was 14-2 with a 2.31 ERA. How many times does anybody remember a complete, utter 180 like we've seen from the performance of a guy that was the unquestioned ace of this team and now is just the biggest question in the entire rotation? What we had seen recently were positive signs from him. What we saw yesterday was an unmitigated disaster. And it didn't help that him and Gary Sanchez had no idea what was going on together. They had zero chemistry, and we'll get to that. But 2 2/3 innings from the ace, an ERA near 7 since the All-Star break. How the heck do you explain it? And his starts recently, the start against the Tigers, the start against the Orioles, the start against the Blue Jays, they weren't dominant starts, but they were better. There was progress from him. And really, when you examine the numbers and you try to figure out, okay, well, what's the big difference? His strikeouts are still there. He struck out 10 guys in the Tiger game. His control is still there. It's that he's just become so much more hittable. And you saw it yesterday. The A's were hitting line drives all over the place. It wasn't like the Met game where the Mets were dinking and dunking the Dodgers to death. The A's were hitting the baseball hard. And I don't ignore that call on Jed Lowrie. I mentioned it before. I thought that was an awful, that was an embarrassing call. I mean, when you have an obvious check swing like that, that cannot be missed. And, yeah, there's a big difference between 2-2 and 3-1. And we saw that when Jed got a pitch to hit and he drove a run in and the Yankees were just non-competitive. And you throw in the fact that the offense did nothing, which we saw a lot of recently. Last night became one of those easy West Coast games, one of those games in which you very politely shut the television off in disgust and you go to bed. But the deeper concern from last night is not the math. It's not the battle for home field advantage, because still, realistically, this is the Yankees to lose. They have that tiebreaker. They have that cushion. And unless this is going to just be a complete free fall in Seattle and in Minnesota, and when they come home after this long road trip, they're going to host that game. They will host that game yet again for the third time. We're going to get a wild card game at Yankee Stadium. For the fourth time, four straight years, believe it or not, we're going to get a wild card game in this town, starting with Yankees Astros to Mets Giants to Yankees Twins to Yankees A's. We're going to get that. I still would be very, very surprised if the Yankees have to go to that just horrific ballpark in Oakland. I mean, it is so horrible with the drums and the crowds. I mean, it gives me a headache. And watching that game yesterday gave me a headache. And that doesn't even include the awful catching display by Gary Sanchez and the awful pitching. That ballpark gives me a massive, massive headache. But don't worry. You're not going to have to see it again. I will be very surprised if you have to see it again. The concern is, how the heck do you trust Luis Severino? And how do you trust Gary Sanchez?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.